one of the things we do with the data is looking at, especially at trends or patterns, is can we do things preventatively to avoid the negative outputs or outcomes of our of whatever we're tracking, say failures in the field, or can we take steps to mitigate and reduce the pattern or reverse the pattern, say, of an increasing failure rate? So the basic idea is that, and is similar to what we talked about early on in this in the course, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, is a basic plan, do, check, act. It's a basic taking steps to make things happen. The basic process is, well, who's going to do what work? And then how important is it? What kind of resources and staffing and deadlines and so on are given to it? What kind of attention and management attention and so on? And then that team or the individual, well, what's going on? What's the root cause? What's the underlying source of the issues that we're trying to solve? There may be some problem solving, some problem analysis, some detailed work, some experimentation, all those kinds of things to sort out what exactly is going on and what can be done about it. A common step with product failures is, can we create the failure and replicate the failure, and can we avert the failure with some particular action or opportunity or change? The idea then is that we come up with a scheme that would either prevent the action or would contain the action or mitigate it in some way, or the say a field failure, for example, or a process variation that we're trying to correct. So then we test it. We try it on a limited scale and we check to see if it's working. And then we deploy it to a larger scale and we implement it in our program and then continue to monitor its effectiveness. Did it actually fix the problem? Now, of course, if it doesn't, then we're back to trying to figure out what's going on. What is the root cause? We may have solved one of the symptoms, but some problems have more than one way that they manifest themselves. But this should be very familiar to you, is that it's a basic problem-solving process or the scientific method kind of a process of, let's learn something, let's implement a change, and then monitor that change. Now, in shipping products or in creating a factory, once we detect that there is a problem, it's then how do we segregate the ones that are suspected to be influenced or contaminated, for lack of a better word, by the situation. So if I'm creating products and I know I have a bad capacitor, well, it could be that whole batch of capacitors, and until we know if it's limited to just that one batch or to multiple batches of capacitors, we should probably isolate or segregate the materials that are using those capacitors. A little investigation will help us figure out, well, it was only that one batch of material on that one shift that had a problem. The rest of them can be dispositioned to continue on with their normal process in shipping. Whereas the ones that were isolated, they may not all have problems with them, but until we understand what the problem actually is, it would be hard to determine which are affected and which are not. So that's what we mean by segregation, is think through, as soon as you find a problem, well, what other units could be affected by this, and should we, if we have the opportunity, can we set them aside until we sort out the problem and avert the chance that we ship knowingly bad products to the market, give us a chance to isolate and either remedy or improve those products so they don't end up with problems themselves. Long-term actions, though, is really back to that problem-solving approach. And for serious problems, your organization may actually form a team and assign a project manager or a black belt, for example, and allow them to conduct an investigation, have that team evaluate what is known and not known, what is information that's relevant for this particular problem, and where do we detect it? How was it detected, for example, and all of those kinds of things. At some point, though, we're going to have a pretty decent definition of the problem. And the better you spend, the more time you spend defining exactly what you're trying to solve, the more likely you're going to be successful with it. Now, the objective for your problem-solving task might be to suggest an improvement to the process or to the design, or it may be just to find a patch or a mitigation that allows the existing products with the defect to still operate in a satisfactory way. But be very clear about what's an acceptable objective with the team's charter or the management team that's chartering the program. Then it gets into the fun part, at least for me, is the problem solving. And that includes brainstorming and design of experiments, lots of data analysis and creating prototypes and workarounds, trying to replicate the problem, doing detailed failure analysis, and many other tools. But that's where the rolling up the sleeves and getting to work really happens. But the idea is to sort it out and get to a root cause and find a fundamental issue that's leading to the problems that we're trying to solve or to mitigate. Once you understand what's actually going on, you're much more likely to be able to solve it. Once we put in place some proposed solutions, let's test it, let's evaluate it, let's put it into practice, and then let's see if it's working or not. One of the steps that's often overlooked in, say, like in an 8D process we'll talk about in a future lesson is, well, did you celebrate? Did the team get recognized as having solved the problem? And it's actually a step in the 8D process is to celebrate your results. Oftentimes we get too busy trying to solve the next problem and forget that part. In essence, though, this section is really about whether I'm doing preventative work or corrective work is that I've had a failure. The product or customer has been let down, a product has failed. The basic idea is what can we learn from that failure? The failure itself is indicative of something that went wrong with the product or ran across a fundamental limit of what's possible given that design and material set in its actual application. So we can learn something that may help us improve the design or improve the manufacturing process, the shipping installation process, the way we use the product, but it also may provide information to make the product more robust, to make it more reliable over a longer period of time. The idea is that a failure is not to be averted or shunned or ignored. It's our chance to really learn quite a bit and to make a significant impact in future products. In the next section, we'll take a look a little bit more closely at some of the common measures of effectiveness. Did this change really make a difference?